A noted poet was once asked in an interview if he could explain one of his poems in ordinary terms. He replied with some feeling, "If I could say what I meant in ordinary terms, I would not have had to write the poem." I've never really considered myself a lover of poetry. You may be surprised to hear that. Honestly, I'm a little bit surprised myself. For as much as I love words, and I love expressing myself with lots of words, and working with words, and playing with words, and finessing words, I have not historically loved poetry. And honestly, as I've thought about that, I think the reason simply has to do with the fact that in order to read poetry, to really appreciate poetry, you have to read it slowly. You have to allow time to consider the meaning of a poem, time to reflect on the images generated by a poem, time to sit with the feelings that are evoked by a poem. To really engage a poem, you have to give it space in your heart and in your mind and in your soul. And that takes time. And so often when I'm reading under the shadow of a deadline, or I'm reading for a specific purpose, or I'm reading out of a sense of obligation. It's been a long time since I have taken much time to read simply for the sake of reading, with a sense of luxury and leisure. It's been a long time since I've taken very much time to really slow down, to really absorb, to really engage with someone else's words on a page. But I've recently, in a couple of different contexts, been reintroduced to the beauty of poetry, the power of carefully crafted and generally concise words, the complexity that can be contained and held in the seeming simplicity of a poem. And all of that has something to do with the choice of our Advent devotionals this year, which, as you may or may not have seen at this point, are entitled Attending to Advent, Poetry, Prose, and Prayer. In this time of year when things seem to speed up and our commitments seem to ramp up and we seem to feel constant pressure, or at least I do, to hurry up, it seemed good to me to invite us to slow down, to slow the whirring of our minds, to slow the rate at which we take in information, even to slow the pace of our breathing and read some poetry and maybe even write some ourselves, but more about that later. And so both through our devotionals, which we send out electronically, if anyone is not getting them and would like to, or if anyone would like a printed copy, let us know. But through both those devotionals, which will come daily, and here in worship each Sunday, we'll have the opportunity, as Joyce was referring to consider Mary and who she is to us. We'll have a chance to spend time also with Joseph and reflect on where we see him, where we see ourselves in his story. We'll have a chance to sit with Herod. And if we dare, we'll have an occasion to think about power and powerlessness and violence and rage and grief and lament. And we'll spend time, of course, with the Christ child, having an opportunity to reflect on vulnerability and incarnation, embodiment, on God as a child, and on each of ourselves, each of us as a child of God. And we'll have opportunities to do all of this through poetry, along with some bits of prose and with prayer. Because after all, this story that we talk about here at this time of year, this story of the eternal and almighty God, creator of the heavens and the earth and all that is in them, That God taking on human flesh. That God being contained by skin and bones and muscles and fat. That God being limited by a human body and being born and walking and talking and burping and stubbing his toe, doing everything that we do in these human bodies. That story cannot be told in ordinary terms. To quote the quote that I began with, the poet, as you remember, said, "If I could say what I meant in ordinary terms, I wouldn't have had to write the poem." The story of God cannot be told fully in ordinary terms. We can't say enough about who God is and what God is and how God came to live and move and have God's very being among us as one of us if we limit ourselves to ordinary terms. The story of God and God's people and God's unshakable love for God's people, no matter how many times those people who are us turn away, do our own thing, say, "Nah, never mind, God." That story cannot simply be told in ordinary terms with regular words that get read under the shadow of a deadline, that are read for a specific purpose, certainly regular words that are read with any sense of obligation. The story that we tell here in church week after week after week, year after year after year, century after century after century, this incredible life-changing story that we are a part of is expressed in more fullness when it is told using poetry and music and art and symbols and parables and visions in addition to the ordinary words. Because the story of God and who God is and who God calls us to be is so much bigger and deeper and more expansive than we can express if we limit ourselves to ordinary terms. The story of God and what God has done and what God is doing and what God calls us to do in partnership with God cannot be fully told in ordinary terms. And so this Advent season, poetry, it can help us understand more fully. It can help flesh out the regular words, offering sensations and feelings and images and possibilities. Like in today's reading from Isaiah, which first of all starts with something kind of weird. I had not ever noticed this before. I don't know if you noticed it this morning. The first verse says, the word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. The word that Isaiah saw. Normally, with words, we hear them, even prophets. But in this case, Isaiah saw the word. The word that God had given him to speak to God's people was something more like a vision, not anything that could be readily expressed in ordinary terms. And so Isaiah painted a picture. He painted a picture of unity and justice that will exist in days to come. And in so doing, he called people to return to God's way and to God. "You're not there yet, folks," he seemed to be saying, "but look at what God's people will experience when God brings it to be." Isaiah also offered a vision of God's peace and reminded people that that's what God has promised to do and what God will do. And at the same time, Isaiah called them to task, speaking of God's judgment and inviting them to walk in God's light, like Mary, with whom we will be invited this week to spend time through our devotionals. Isaiah knew in the depths of his being that something better was coming. God had spoken that to them. In this Advent season, we too have an opportunity to know in the depths of our being that something better is coming, if we can hear God speak that to us. Like Mary, Isaiah had been given a vision of this new world that God is creating. God had revealed that to them. And in this Advent season, we too have an opportunity to be recipients of this vision of a new world if we are open to God revealing it to us. Like Mary, Isaiah had a special role in announcing the reality of this new creation to God's people. God had ordained that and had chosen them. We too have a special role in announcing the reality of this new creation to God's people. If we can accept that we too have been chosen. Like Mary, Isaiah had complete faith that God's kingdom of unity and justice and peace was coming. Despite the madness and the violence and the chaos of the world that he lived in and that Mary lived in, God had promised it. Do we too have that faith? In this Advent season, God continues to promise that God's kingdom will come, that in days to come, justice and peace and unity will reign, that there will be no more war, no more tears, no more division. God has promised that in the fullness of time, God's very self will come and live and move and dwell among us and be one of us, and that the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. Isaiah and Mary trusted completely in that promise, and they lived their lives accordingly. Do we? Can we? Will we? In this Advent season, I invite you to join me in considering God's promises and imagining what it would look like to really, fully, completely trust in them and live our lives accordingly. God knows the world needs God's kingdom to come. And I invite you to spend some time, make some time, give yourself permission to take a little time for some poetry reading. Amen.